This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
One last blast, a good one, of some fireworks, just in case you didn't get to hear those sounds. A lot of fireworks displays were canceled in some local towns and cities across the U.S., but then there were some spectacular ones. The Macy's Steel in New York, always sweet to watch that. And then, of course, on the Capitol, the fireworks were spectacular as always. But the 4th of July is behind us now, and there's fireworks of a different sort happening with hacking the weather and, sadly, the Surfside catastrophe and big concerns about buildings across the U.S. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. Hope you had a fabulous holiday. Diving into the aftermath of Surfside, as I said, all of us were holding our breath and really, let's face it, looking for that miracle that we'd hear some fantastic story about a survival, somebody being found a week later, a couple days later, whatever it was. Instead, it was about how do we get this building down as soon as possible, because we got a very big problem here, and that problem is a tropical storm. And already, when we look at what has happened at this condo, we cannot take any chances. So four bodies were found after the Florida condo demolition at Surfside pushed the death toll to 28. Rescue teams resumed search for survivors after that collapse, which happened well over a week ago, hours after a remaining section had to be imploded. As I mentioned, it was just too risky not to do that. So the decision was made to bring it down. 117 people still missing since the Champlain Tower South collapsed on June 24th, and they took down the remaining section of that building because of the winds that were approaching with that tropical storm Elsa, fearing that it would topple the structure completely and endanger the people that were hunting for survivors. So the search was paused temporarily on Monday night several times because of lightning. So there were stalled efforts along the way. And you look at the grid of the building. I was looking at this today earlier, and I'm no demolition expert, but I was looking at it. It took 4.8 million pounds. There was 4.8 million pounds of concrete that had been removed from the site of the collapsed building. So you think about that, and you think about this demolition. And the fact that when the more debris, of course, comes down, there's a bigger pile of rubble, if you will, and now there's more to go through, at least there were some people that were found. Their bodies were recovered Monday morning, one in the afternoon, too. That's good news for the closure for families. The whole thing is horrible. There isn't any silver lining in this, except for that I think there is a tiny bit of closure, just a tiny, tiny bit. But because of that storm that I mentioned, there was no choice but to bring it down on Sunday. And I talked about that in the previous show. I mean, listen, there were people from all over the place. The world was really mourning this, the people who were in this building, and they were waiting for so much news, hoping that there would be some good news. I mean, firefighters searched in closets, under beds. Drones were deployed with thermal imaging technology, because the other fear was, okay, we got to bring this building down. Is there any chance that somebody is still in this other side? So you had fireworks displays going off in some of the bigger areas in our nation. And here you had, at this condominium site, people being advised to stay inside their homes because of what was happening with the demolition. So victims' families and survivors certainly are obviously losing hope because of the stall, because of the building coming down, and it would truly be some crazy, wild miracle if in any way somebody was pulled from that. I mean, just terrible. All right, not to add to the horrific, but just one quick one. You know, you look at amusement parks and the possibility of accidents with rides, and an 11-year-old boy died on Sunday after he and three others were injured in this water ride at Adventureland Park in Altoona. I know we have people listening to us in Iowa. This was a very, very big deal. You had one kid in critical condition and two with some minor injuries. Very, very sad. Six riders were on this raging river raft. If you've ever ridden on that, you know what I'm talking about. It overturned, and that's when the disaster happened. So they're investigating, how did this go over? How did they fall through these rapids? It's a circular raft, and it's got a conveyor belt, and this is something that's been there since 1983. So they found it was working in working order. They're looking at it from all different angles to try to figure out what possibly could have happened there. And I've been on one of these, on a similar ride to this, and to me, and there was nothing wrong with the ride, but it felt kind of shaky. It felt like you could fly out of it. So who knows what the details are on that, but very sad for certainly those family members. All right, this tropical storm, you know, we're in that season with hurricanes and tropical storms, all of that. So while the West is looking at these temperatures are going to have more record numbers and drought conditions, you got this tropical storm making landfall in Cuba and headed toward Florida. And it has weakened slightly. That's the good news. Winds are down to 50 miles an hour as of just a short while ago. But it did hit Cuba with about 60 mile an hour winds. And of course, there's massive rain. And the thought is, as it heads toward Florida, will it pick up more strength? Will the winds be up to about 65 miles an hour on Tuesday as it goes off the west coast, bounces off the west coast of Florida? So heavy rain, lots of wind, increased massive surf to most of Florida, even though it's offshore. On Tuesday, what they're talking about is the landfall will probably happen near Cedar Key on Wednesday morning. Elsa was the first hurricane of the 2021 Atlantic season, is the third named storm to pose a threat to the U.S. coast. We are keeping track of this. I know many of you are concerned because I got the emails as you watch to see what's happening. And will it strengthen, and where do we go from here? Which is why it was so smart to bring down the rest of that building, because it was too risky to think, well, maybe as the winds will die down, let's kind of play chicken with this tropical storm, and perhaps it doesn't hit those right pockets. There was no way they could do it, and the advice was to do it, so that was a very, very smart thing for the mayor, for the governor, for others involved, as they kept having meeting after meeting after meeting to decide, okay, we're pulling this sucker down. Hackers and more, we're headed to the mailbag. You had a lot of thoughts and a lot of things. We're going there next.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Let's dig in the mail bag.
All of the emails, keep them coming. K2KDelaneyRadio.com, 24/7. Whatever thoughts you got, flip them to us, definitely. And I'll tell you what, it was all over the board. There's no question about it this time around. And maybe it's because it was a holiday week. People had more time to think. I don't know. But there was this one from Brad listening to us in Florida. And he said, "Kate, too damn bad they had to demolish that building. Can you imagine how scary it was for some people thinking, wow, what if a pet or something else or a person, more importantly, is stuck somewhere inside the other side of that condo? So they had to take it down because of the weather. But, boy, I would have been very nervous if I was part of that demolition crew and I was that mayor trying to make that decision. What a nightmare it's been at Surfside. I've actually been by that area. I think you have, too. We probably didn't think much of any of those condos there because there are plenty of them as far as the eye can see. But for those poor people, it certainly was the worst place that many of them could have been. And you hear these stories of the people who got out alive, and you must think, or they must think, they have like a new lease on life. I know I certainly would feel that way, and I would feel also probably a little bit of survivor's guilt, although they should not feel that way. Yeah, I agree with you there. They shouldn't feel survivor's guilt, but maybe there is some of that, right, depending on their particular situation of how they got out. And you're right. There's massive stories about that, hey, they could have been back in the building, but they came back a day later, or they stayed at someone's house, or something else happened. But the Surfside mayor, Charles Burkett, said that, you know, this is maybe a blessing in disguise because we had to accelerate the demolition plan. It was initially going to take weeks, but because of the potential of the storm, they could not take a chance. The threat was too much for the rescue workers. So he may be right about that when you think about how much a twisted rebar and concrete columns and all of that that just jumbled down in a heap, and it was pretty dicey anyway. And what's interesting is, so you know, because I thought for sure this would halt the rescue attempts or, whatever, recovery of bodies by hours. It took 20 minutes. So now the number of confirmed deaths is 28 at this point. But it didn't take as long as I thought it would. I thought for sure by the time they clear it, forget it, it's going to take much, much longer than that. All right, let's go to this one. This one is from Joe in Louisiana. Kate, you've talked a lot about cybersecurity. You've had some pretty good guests lately on about that. And I'm wondering your thoughts on yet another one, this ransom group demanding $70 million in Bitcoin for a decryptor tool, the Keith situation again, with this attack on a software company that is a logistical nightmare from what I can understand because of the kind of clientele they have all over the map. Yeah, the company is saying, you're talking about, I know you're talking about Caseya, and they are being held hostage. And they feel like the full impact is not going to be felt until Tuesday when more people are back at work. But there are thousands of victims because of this, because this is the biggest non-nation state supply chain attack ever, and possibly the second biggest ransomware attack ever because of the potential victims, thousands of potential victims. And imagine if, you know, the customer, they've got their IT service providers. They could have hundreds or thousands of clients who are also affected by this. So that's why it could be so big. And it's R-Evil. It's R-Evil. That's how you say it. They're the ones who are, again, they believe that they're responsible for this. I mean, have we learned from the cyber attacks? I mean, what is the risk of paying ransom? And I guess it just differs from industry to industry, I think. In some cases, you know, you're getting demands for $70 million, you have insurance, etc. Can you afford not to pay the ransomware? I realize what that does and how it empowers the group, but in certain circumstances, can you really afford to not jump in and pay it. And those are the kind of debates that are happening right now, over and over and over again. Any company, any big company, especially where they have tentacles that reach a lot of different people, they have to be, I would think, preparing for anything possible and would want cybersecurity to be, I would think it would be in their top three of what their concerns are. Absolutely. Can't imagine that it wouldn't be. All right, then there's this one from Hal who says, Kate, hats off to you. I listen to you in Michigan. I'm in Saginaw, so good show. I know you probably saw this about the 13-year-old boy who died in his sleep 3 days after getting a second dose of COVID-19, the vax, in mid-June. They're investigating it, apparently, but that's not good news at all. Sad for the family, but shocking and surprising. And he had just completed the eighth grade, I guess, and he got his second dose of the vaccine. He was at a pharmacy. He was healthy. He didn't have any underlying medical conditions, and he was going to be a freshman in high school. awful for that family, and it makes you wonder, is this really, this is, goes to whether it's safe or not. Yeah, they say this is an enlarged heart, and there was fluid around his heart. The Michigan Institute of Forensic Science and Medicine, I believe, that was their preliminary findings. They were going back and forth about that. But, of course, it's being investigated. No cause of death was listed on his death certificate. And it just, you know, it just depends on the medical examiners and the county. And they're saying it could be months. His funeral is just June 26th. And this was 3 days after a CDC advisory committee acknowledged an association between the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines and the risk of heart problems in adolescents and young children. And it's interesting because I think it does depend on, some of this depends on where you are individually. And we talk about the amount of people that have been vaccinated. And at this point, certainly the 70%, we didn't get there. There wasn't the herd immunity, but 182.4 million have been vaccinated, and that includes 157.3 million who have been fully vaccinated in the U.S., so, you know, give or take, 47.4% fully vaccinated, and there is a push to get younger kids vaccinated. Well, when they hear stories like that, any parent, it would have to give them pause as to what do they do. And then there was the young women who a handful of them died from getting, you know, after they had gotten the vaccine. And again, that would be something you would have to think about, I think, if you're in their shoes. But it, yeah, terrible. Terrible, because that's not at all what they're expecting. Oh, he's healthy, he's fine, it's great, no problem. Then poof. And, you know, what are they going to say after that? Oh, sorry, he got the vaccine. Sorry, this thing happened with his heart, we believe. And, you know, there have been complications, yes. And most of the complications seem to be coming for people ages 12 to 39 within 21 days after a second dose of the vaccine. That's the way it looks anyway at this point. The inflammation of the heart muscle that affects the heart rhythm and the ability to pump. And, you know, this is tough. Even though, yes, it is a small amount when you talk about the amount of people that have been vaccinated or the amount of kids that age that have been vaccinated. All right, remember, you can shoot me your thoughts, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com.
Stay at home. Public health concerns. The reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Some pandemic restrictions are being lifted at the U.S.-Canada border. Fully vaccinated Canadians are now able to return to the country without going through a 14-day quarantine period, a first step towards dropping all travel restrictions between the two countries. The restrictions on non-essential travel between the U.S. and Canada are expected to last until at least January 21st. And Tajikistan has mobilized military forces to secure its border as Afghan security forces advance into the country. More than 1,000 Afghans crossed the border as Taliban fighters advanced to the area. Tajik President Emomali Rahman has called up 20,000 reservists in response to the fighting on his country's border. Rahman has also called on the leaders of several countries in the area to meet to discuss the situation, including Russia's Vladimir Putin. The action's coming as the U.S. has been accelerating its withdrawal from Afghanistan. You're listening to USA Radio News. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas will travel to Guatemala Tuesday to meet with members of the Guatemalan government, a month after Vice President Kamala Harris made the same trip as part of her duties to try to stem the flow of migrants to the U.S. border. Former Acting ICE Director Ron Vitello says that working with the Northern Triangle countries is good, but won't stop the surge. He tells Fox News that the root cause of the surge is the reversal of Trump-era policies.
I suppose there's potential there, but the root cause of this surge that's on the border and this uncontrolled pipeline is the reversal of the policies that were allowing people to wait in Mexico for their asylum claims, the accords with the Northern Triangle about asylum reforms. The root cause of this problem, the root cause of the chaos, is because they reverse those policies. Now, working with Guatemala, working with the Northern Triangle on governance and anti-corruption activities, that's all good and well and good, but that's not going to stop the surge that's occurring on the border right now. We've encouraged people to send or bring their children to the border, and the root cause of the chaos is the reversal of these policies.
This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
After perhaps a long holiday weekend, you might have kicked back and watched some of what's going on sports-wise. We don't really have a man cave this time around, so I'm going to do a mini woe man cave from you and get you up to date on a couple of things, including any stick and puck fans out there. Well, you are now. Canadians beat the Lightning 3-2 as a final in overtime. Tampa Bay leads that series overall 3-1. They go crazy for hockey in the land of flip-flops and shorts. They call them the Bolts, and they've got just Bolt T-shirts and Bolt fever everywhere you look, Tampa's having a nice run coming off of a Super Bowl win with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Let's see if the Lightning hold up or the Canadians surprise them and stay in this. Sad story about a goaltender, Columbus Blue Jackets goalie Matthijs Kivalinkas, 24 years old. He was in a fireworks accident. It was really just a freak thing. This happened in Michigan, and it was, they say, the mortar-style firework tilted kind of slightly and started to fire toward people nearby on Sunday night. So the 24-year-old happened to be in a hot tub, and he tried to get clear with some other people, get away from what was crazy thing that was happening. And initially they said he died from this injury caused by the blast of the fireworks, which triggered damage to his heart and lungs. But apparently part of the firework made contact with him. They don't know if it was a direct hit or whether it was part of that explosion that caused the injuries. But once they got the 911 call, they got there as fast as possible, less than 5 minutes, took him to a local hospital, but he was pronounced dead. So prior to the autopsy, they were saying they thought he slipped and hit his head on concrete when he was running from the malfunctioning fireworks situation. And this was a kid who was on his way up with those in the hockey world, the knowledge that they have laid on me about him. He started a couple of games for the Blue Jackets in the past season, but he had played for Latvia in the World Championships. He played 8 total games in his NHL career, but he's expected to compete for more. He was looking really, really good, and that is a very sad freak accident situation there. All right, the NBA now rolls on to the finals. Yes, it is the Bucks and the Suns. So that starts on Tuesday. How about the Milwaukee Bucks? Some people counting the Bucks out, but for all of you listening in Wisconsin, I know you weren't counting them out. The Bucks did it. They got by the Hawks. They won the series 4-2 with a 118-107 win to push them into this situation. So from over the weekend, where they are now in the finals. And it's interesting to look at this team and think, wow, they're doing it. They're here. Phoenix, for my Arizona fans, Phoenix is favored by 6. This is a home game, of course, in Arizona for the first one out of the chute. Boy, Devin Booker is tough, tough, tough to stop. And that's one of the many players that the Bucks are going to have to get a handle on when they match up against this team. I think it's a pretty evenly matched series. I think we could be in store, if you're a fan, we could be in store for perhaps a game 7. We may see that. And, you know, it may, when I say game 7, I think it's that close that it could be that competitive that we're on the edge of our seats watching this and it gets down to that 7th game. I hope we have a great series, and that's what I'm predicting anyway. All right, this is kind of that odds and ends deal where there's things that you miss because so much is going on. And so what did you miss while you were flipping burgers or doing something else, maybe laying low and catching your breath for an extra day or two? What you might have missed was perhaps the horrific, if you're not in these areas, the horrific toll that this heat wave has taken on the Pacific Northwest, about 100 people dead, 100 people dead in Oregon because they are just smashing all kinds of records. So the late June heat that scorched there, triple-digit temps, is blamed for that many people. That's what the state's medical examiner's office is saying. And that's pretty somber news. And we're talking about the heat wave, the health impacts from the historic heat wave from June 25th to 28th that included temperatures of more than 100 degrees in counties across the state. They broke all kinds of records. And so the Oregon governor, Kate Brown, was part of the Sunday swirl. She was on Face the Nation. She says this is unprecedented. This is something that we have to prepare for, that we may have more days like this. So she's saying that they've been working with health and community partnerships to look for the people the most impacted by the heat wave and offer air conditioners to the people who don't have them and have more cooling centers to vulnerable folks because they're not used to this kind of weather. And it's tragic that somebody loses their life because they cannot cool down. But again, this is an area where this is not normal. This is not what they normally see. All right, we did see that a lot of people traveled over the holiday, thousands and thousands of people. In fact, the airports were jammed, and now there's still more people who are coming back from trips as they maybe took an extra
day or two. And there's just a big reminder that if you are flying, pack your patience somewhere, because this is going to be difficult for people who are flying. Southwest airline customers are struggling with thousands of delays, hundreds of canceled flights this month, computer problems, staffing shortages, terrible weather. American Airlines also grappling with a surge in massive delays. They trimmed their schedule through mid-July because they don't have enough pilots, according to the pilots' union. So travelers are posting these wild pictures of long airport lines and describing how awful it is and being trapped and being in these terrible situations, that it's just painful to fly because of the long delays on both legs of a trip, you know, and people losing it, trying to keep it together, but losing it. So there were 10 days in June when more than, check this out, 2 million travelers went through U.S. airports. These are numbers from the Transportation Security Administration, right? Airlines say that domestic leisure travel is back to 2019 levels, but the lack of business travelers means that overall the number of passengers over the past week is still down 20% compared with the same days in 2019. But it was a blockbuster 4th of July weekend. I mean, there were 100,000 flights between July 1st and July 5th. That's twice the 58,000 they offered last year. So this is a big boost to the industry, fighting for an industry like hospitality in that same boat, fighting for survival, now having the chance to bounce back, but having to get people in the door, get more workers, and also have more pilots ready to go. You know, the staffing shortage across the board. And on the pilot side, it's really just a training backlog because they can't just throw them into the cockpit and they don't have any training on whatever it is they might be flying. So they've had to scrub flights. I mean, Southwest, they've averaged more than 1,300 daily flight delays. That's 40% since June 14th. That's 40% of their schedule. Wow, 40% of their schedule. That does not inspire confidence, right? I mean, it's just, again, a reminder that if you're traveling, you have to expect that, you know, there could be delays. So make sure you pack accordingly. Make sure you're reading something good, listening to something good, whatever it is, because you may be trapped in that situation, right, where you're burning time. You are burning time. All right, speaking of burning time, what is Jeff Bezos going to do as his retirement? Well, he's not completely retiring, but he's stepping down as CEO of Amazon. That's it. He's done. Monday was it. I mean, his fortune is like $196 billion since 1998 when he first jumped on the list. Now, he's actually worth more than that, $202 billion. Whatever. It's somewhere in that ballpark. Somewhere in that ballpark. So he's going to be the executive chairman, but he's turning over the reins to Andy Jassy so that he's not doing the day-to-day. Which makes sense when you have that much money. I mean, what is there to do? Give it away, go do whatever you want to do. Oh, fly into space, I don't know. He's got lots of options, let's put it that way, right? Mic drop coming up next.
I
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
The mic drop this time around comes from my nephew, Owen, who said he had a good one. He sent it to me, and he actually read about it, I think, in the Smithsonian magazine. So you think about regeneration. You know what that is, right? Where something can regenerate itself. Well, there was something that was just published in the journal Current Biology, something that is not on my nightstand and probably isn't on your nightstand, but it is fascinating. Imagine these sea slugs that decapitate themselves. They decapitate themselves. So their head is detached. They crawl away from their bodies, and within hours, these disembodied heads munch on algae again. And they keep munching on algae. And they think the strategy, science think, the reason why they decapitate themselves is they're ridding themselves of parasites. That this is pretty extreme. I mean, that's pretty extreme when you talk about regeneration in terms of a species. And there are others that do that. There are the flatworms that do that. We're having some outbreaks of these weird flatworms in Texas that look like hammerheads. That's what they call them, the hammerhead flatworms or something. And that if you can't touch them, and if you chop them up, they regenerate. And if you touch them, pick them up, they stick to you. And then it's toxic and all this craziness. But back to the sea slugs, the headless bodies can survive for months. Their hearts beat and they keep on ticking. You know, they just keep on going. The head has the brain and teeth and all that. And in the experiments that they were done, not all sea slugs, by the way, lobbed off their own heads. And those that did, about a third of them successfully regrew their bodies. So observing this self-amputating sea slug with these parasites, it's pretty wild. I mean, there's some scientific breakthroughs, I think, that are starting to happen as a result of that. Younger sea slugs did better than the older ones, but still there were some from both category that were trying to do that. And the slugs can keep these hijacked bits of cellular machinery alive for weeks or months. Wow. Disturbing in a sense. It sounds like an oddball story, but regeneration, I think, is fascinating. And it's interesting to hear about these sea slugs lopping off their own heads and then eating algae. Imagine you're a diver and you're seeing this all over the place. Yeah, that would be pretty freaky, wouldn't it? So I'm saying... Yeah, I'm saying hats off, Smithsonian, that is a wild story. And there is something to be learned from it, and that's the whole idea with any of these scientific experiments, if you will. I hope I am never floating anywhere in the Atlantic, and I see a tiny sea slug somewhere come up, and it's just the head. No. I just happened to read this, and I thought it was interesting. Now, how they do this, I guess, is mostly through births. And I'm certainly not going to go through every state because that would bore you to death. I mean, this is some of your odder stuff that I'm carrying over. But the most popular boy and girl names, a lot of times go by state. So in Alabama, William is the most popular name. Ava for girl, if you're in Alabama. Now, if we go to our friends in Arizona, are you listening? Anybody who's about to have a child in Tucson or Phoenix or anywhere in Arizona, you might consider not naming your daughter Olivia. That is the most popular name. The second most popular name is Emma. For boys, Liam is the most popular name in Arizona. Second is Noah. It's just, and this, is, again, is through names on birth certificates. And many of those same names are recycled, by the way. Like in Connecticut, Olivia is the most popular girl's name. Noah, the most popular boy's name. You know, if we kind of bopped around, that's just fascinating, right? And the name Olivia, and Liam, they come up again and again and again and again and again. But if we were looking in Iowa, the second most popular girl's name is Charlotte. But the first most popular name is Olivia. Wow. And then, this is even crazier. So I'm not kidding you. In Iowa, Iowans, pay attention. See, do you have any O and O's in your house? You know what an O and O is? An Olivia for the girl and an Oliver for the boy. And the second most popular, Liam. And this name keeps popping up again and again and again and again. I think names, people search for names if it's not going to be a family name. And they look through, they look at the names they keep hearing over and over again. And those are some of the names that we keep hearing over and over and over, right? Again. So they just kind of, they kind of stick out. That's, you know, that's what it is. Just sticks out. All right, how about the UK? Now, we have a lot of interesting people on our Authors Corners where they're from the UK, all over the map in the UK and Australia, etc. And our friends there are always concerned about the United States, and I appreciate that more than you can possibly know. But back at them, because some of these lockdown measurements. So Boris is at it again. The Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, confirmed that on Monday that he acknowledged that lifting the restrictions will drive surging coronavirus cases higher. So he's scrapping laws requiring face masks and social distancing later this month. He's saying it'll be replaced by personal responsibility when the country moves to the final stage of the lockdown lifting roadmap. And that's going to happen on July 19th. He says change will mean people can throw away masks after months of enforced face covering. Social distancing rules. Nightclubs can reopen for the first time in 16 months if anybody wants to get their groove on. And people can order drinks at the pub. They don't have to scan a phone app, have their personal contact out there entering whatever venue it is. And they're also going to stop instructing people to work from home if they can. So it's up to the employers whether they're going to bring them back or not. And Boris Johnson, being Boris Johnson, said in England they're just going to have to learn to live with the virus. And that's a major shift from previously what he said, that COVID-19 is an enemy that has to be vanquished. But like everywhere else, Brits are exhausted. There's this crazy burnout phenomenon that's going around because, yes, people in so many cases are working harder, working more hours, and they're tired. They're just burned out. Like there, I think some companies are making the leap in their mind that it's not as though, hey, you are working for home, so we know you're screwing around and you're not hitting all the accounts you should be hitting or whatever it is. And that's not true. I think the opposite is true. People are burning it so hard that they're just completely exhausted and have nothing left in the tank. So what do? You know, I mean, nothing. And the idea that now it's like, oh, now you got to come back to work. You got to find shoes. You got to get out of sweatpants, right? You got to figure out, how do I do this anymore? I think people are still in that fumbling around in the dark trying to figure out, what does I need to be doing? How do I do this? All right, and last but not least, how about Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani? Not the odd couple anymore. They are the married couple. Maybe they're still the odd couple. I don't know. They seem funny. I've seen a couple of interviews with them, and they've been going out for a while, so they tied the knot. Country meets pop, or I don't know, something like that. Thanks to Nathan Reeder for his incredible work, as always, on the technicals, and all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.